enchanté.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Two Tight Ends podcast. I'm your co-host, Neil, and with me today, I actually have somebody who's been slut-shaming Lola Bunny on Twitter all week. It's Connor.
Hey, what's up, boys? And I have not been slut-shaming Lola Bunny. The rest of the world has.
Is it really just slut-shaming, or is it, hey, we want the old slut back?
I mean, yes.
Is that shaming or is it liberating? I don't know. I guess it's all about perspective, Connor.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, should we just get into it? Should we just talk about that now?
Let's talk about it. Space Jam photos leaked. Space Jam 2 photos leaked. And the internet is upset that they took away some of Lola Bunny's thickness.
I mean, basically, they just took away Lola Bunny's midriff. Like, they were just like, yeah, we're not gonna sexualize her as much. But I don't think I would have enjoyed Space Jam half as much. And I don't think I will now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks like they animated, like, baggier clothes on her.
pretty much, yeah. I mean, before she had, like, tight clothes, showed a little midriff, you know, gave a little something for the boys. And now it's like, eh.
And now what, we have to watch her play basketball?
Ugh. Ugh. I mean, what are cosplayers supposed to do now? They don't have an updated Lola Bunny outfit.
Oh, they'll find a way to make it slutty, don't you worry.
So true. Those e-girls, they always find a way.
Always find a way. But some of those photos did look cool. It wasn't leaked, it was released.
True.
But like I'm kind of excited. I want to quell my excitement a little bit because I mean, in general, sequels usually don't do as good, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm wondering how they're gonna do this one. I'm wondering if they're gonna go like sort of follow the story just 20 years later kind of thing, or if they're gonna maybe try to brand new story with the same characters, you know?
Yeah, I am very curious, very excited. Also trying to kind of go in with like no expectations like you're talking about, but here's the thing that I do want to get your take on just really quick. Mm-hmm. Yay or nay on the new Toon Squad jerseys? How do you feel?
I can't remember it off the top of my head, to be honest.
Why don't you go look that up, and I will go into my thoughts on the movie in general, though. So why I'm excited is if you watched The Last Dance, and you see like Michael Jordan going into preparing for or not preparing but shooting for Space Jam, the original one. He had zero acting ability for the most part. I mean, maybe he took some classes or something, but I mean, he was not a trained actor, and not that LeBron James is, but I think LeBron James is a little bit more of a natural actor because he's been in some different skits and stuff. He's been in movies. He's been in different sketches. He's been in quite a few things. And I think, I can't remember what movie was specifically that my brother was telling me about, but Bill Hader was also in it, and then Bill Hader was on like some late night talk show, and he was like, "It's not fair. He's hilarious and a freak athlete. You only get to be one. I'm only one."
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, I'm kind of excited in that regard that like we're gonna have a little bit of. I think LeBron is a great actor. I mean, you've seen his Flop Game. We all know he's a great actor. Uh-huh. So. But just in general, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I did pull up the jerseys. In fact, I'm looking at the side-by-side of the old ones and the new ones. I really like the new ones, actually. It's like it's a modern take on this, but it still has the same – like it's paying homage to the old elements of the old jersey. I like it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm a fan. When they first – because they released what the new jerseys were going to look like a while ago, I believe. And when I first saw them – I wasn't super excited about it, but then when you put them side by side with the old ones, I mean, the old ones are pretty like minimalist. They're cool. Don't get me wrong. Like,
kind of plain, but yeah.
Yeah. Like they're a little plain, but, no, I'm really excited. I mean, the new ones kind of give me, what year was that? What year was it? The All-Star jerseys that had like the chili pepper on them that are amazing.
Oh man. That's like, what
is that 93?
99?
Oh, is that 99? I'm way past that. I don't know why I thought like
Because I think that
93-ish,
was
but
in San Antonio.
yes, it was the San Antonio. Yep. But yeah, those
Jerseys.
like teal San Antonio All-Star jerseys. That's kind of what these remind me of a little bit, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, when it was 96. It was 96.
Okay, so split the difference between us. Literally.
Exactly. But no, those were good ones, yeah. But yeah, speaking of All-Star games, we're recording this on Sunday the 7th, and the All-Star game is in a few hours, actually. Sort of still a little bit controversial why we're even having an All-Star game. Maybe just give them a break, but it's here, it's happening. And we got some news early this morning that actually Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are not going to be playing tonight because of contact tracing, and they're just playing it safe and not having them in there, as far as we know right now.
Poor guys, they were just trying to get a clean fade before the
Yeah.
game, man.
I know it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks that you travel down to Atlanta, you're getting ready for the All-Star game. It's like, again, like I said, so I feel like some of the sentiment is we don't really want to do this year, but if we're doing it, okay, we're here, we're gonna have fun, and then you can't even do it now.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone's really looking like forward to this All-Star game, if I'm being perfectly honest. I mean, maybe some of the guys are, but from the sentiments around the league, it was just kind of like, we're kind of just doing this to make Commissioner Gordon, I mean Silver, happy. So
Commissioner Gordon. The Batman reference?
yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that just came to my mind first. I was like,
Commissioner
Commissioner
Gordon.
Gordon, why not?
Yeah, they have what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, they replaced Embiid in the starting lineup with Zion Williamson. That's pretty interesting. And I believe how they did that is they took the remaining people in the reserves, the top vote getter gets put in the starter. So that was pretty interesting. Obviously, he's a young guy, so but yeah, he's pretty much their starting center now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And only 20 years old, so that's pretty cool for him.
Yeah, exactly. And then Connor, who do you Okay, if they actually tried in a game, if this was a real All-Star game, and maybe they will, maybe they'll surprise us, and maybe they'll take it a little seriously as you can, take an All-Star game. Who would you pick, Team LeBron or Team Durant?
Ooh. I think I'm going Team LeBron on this one.
Really?
Let
He,
me
I mean,
I maybe
and
maybe I'm maybe I'm misremembering which roster is which. I gotta look it up really quick.
so yeah, I have it in front of me. LeBron has Antetokounmpo, Curry, Doncic, Jokic, Lillard, Simmons, Jaylen Brown, Chris Paul, Paul George, Sabonis, Rudy Gobert. And it's like obviously they're both all-star rosters, but that's like it's still pretty stacked as far as all-stars rosters are
Yeah,
go.
yeah, yeah. So
But
I just pulled it up, and it was actually Giannis was in a post game interview when it was revealed, like which like who they drafted, LeBron and Durant. And when Giannis heard what the starting five was, his reaction kind of said it all. I mean, he was just like, "Oof, easy win."
yeah. But also, I mean, you have LeBron on their team, so
Well, yeah, so that's an easy win
you're
right
the
there.
reigning two-time MVP, so
Yeah.
you're feeling pretty confident, I
Yeah, 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 yeah.
bet. Yeah, and the whole NBA the All-Star draft that happened, there was some interesting stuff. So LeBron was picking the last few players, and he was like, "Oh man, you know what? I gotta go for some height, right? I gotta go for some height." So there's Rudy Gobert and Domantas Sabonis left on the board, and he picks Sabonis, who
Yeah,
is
he's like,
probably like 5 inches shorter.
I need some size. Let me go with Sabonis.
It's just funny how he prefaced it. It's like, yeah, you can pick who you want, but
It's true, and Gobert's on his team anyway, so I mean,
yeah.
it's whatever, I guess. But yeah, I saw that too. I think it was Charles Barkley's actually called him out. He was like, "Bron, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
You're like, you
he
said you needed
called
some size."
he called Sabonis like 6'3"
Yeah, he's like,
too.
"Sabonis is 6'3". You got 7'7" Gobert over here.
Yeah. And then he also was it? Barkley also was like coming to the Jazz defense, And he was like, because Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were the last two picked, right?
Yeah.
And so Barkley was like, that's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. They're terrible. No, he was like, because they're the number one seed, and he's like, these two really good players on this number one team, how do they get picked last, right? And LeBron was like, well, man, it's like, you know, back in the day when we're playing video games and stuff, we never even played as the Jazz. We never
did. No one cared about the Jazz, yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know, some shade there? Ooh.
Man, I guess. I don't know. Put some respect on the Jazz, though, dude. That's all I got to say to that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, just, no. I mean, looking at, yeah, I mean, because when you look at these rosters, I don't know, I would have picked, like, you know, you said they were the last two picked. I would have picked, like, Mitchell before Jaylen Brown. I mean, not that Jaylen Brown's not a great player, but, like, mm-hmm. if we're talking about, like, yeah, these all-star rosters, I would have picked Mitchell over Brown.
Maybe that's LeBron, because LeBron's had to go against Brown, you know, last before he went to the Lakers a lot, you know?
So yeah, maybe there's a little
respect there. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know, but yeah, it is pretty interesting that Jazz are just getting overlooked still.
Yeah, still as the number one seed in the number one team in the NBA.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Put some respect on their name. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a chance it could be a fun one. Like you said, as long as some of the guys try. I don't know. It's always iffy in a normal All-Star game if the guys are gonna try. And so with this whole stuff, I hope it's a good one. I'm excited for the 3-point contest, though. Your boy Curry, he's actually in it. Do you think he's gonna win?
I mean, he has to, right? Clay's not in it, so he's pretty much the favorite now.
Yeah,
I mean, because exactly. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before we started corner, but I just feel like Curry, because, like, you know, you see a lot of these guys who, you see a lot of these guys who, like, grow out of, like, the dunk contest or grow out of, like, some of these other different, you know, all these other contests that they might get invited to. And Steph Curry's still in the 3-point contest. And, I mean, you do get some older guys in the 3-point contest from time to time, for sure. Not that Curry's even older at this point, but he's definitely a top vet at this point. And I just think he just wants to prove to everyone he is the greatest shooter of all time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's on his way to breaking and probably shattering Ray Allen's record. So, I mean, at this point, he's just trying to prove it to everyone.
Dude, he's definitely gonna break it. Probably gonna shatter it, barring some ungodly injury.
That's what I'm saying. He's basically gonna be like the Stockton of three-pointers by the end of his career.
I think he's like 2,000 above anybody else.
Exactly, like, and like no hope of catching him. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this up. The NBA actually has sent out roughly 200 letters with cease and desist orders to various party promoters in the Atlanta area that have used the league's All-Star logo and event name in connection with unaffiliated events scheduled this weekend. So people are throwing parties claiming it's like an All-Star party, right? And then they're using their logo, and the NBA is like, no, first of all, you shouldn't be having a party, but also don't be using our logo for it either. But I think and Mark Stein tweets it here, he was like, the most notable aspect is that there's at least 200 parties going around in Atlanta right now when everybody's, you know, the mayor's begging everybody not to do that, stuff like that.
Bro, it's Atlanta. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. And you have an event like the All-Star weekend, or All-Star day, I guess, in this case, happening. There's no way you're stopping them.
Yeah. You think the strip clubs are not going to throw a party when James Harden's in town? Come on.
You think after the picture of the Tampa Bay or the Miami strip clubs, they had that picture after the Super Bowl of all the money on the floor, and you think that they're not going to open those up?
Yeah.
You kidding?
It's going down.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's going down for real. Flo Rida.
For real. Connor, let's get into some non-All-Star news. So the Detroit Pistons, they actually they bought out Blake Griffin. I don't know if people have been watching Blake Griffin this year, the limited time he's been in. It's been a rough year for the guy. You know, everybody's talking about how he hasn't dunked since, like, I think 2018, 2019, I think it was. for like a year and a half, he hasn't dunked in a game.
Well, and that's like his whole identity. So
it was, yeah. But he was cut.
Still kind of is.
And yeah, do you think? I mean, the reports are coming out that contenders are looking at him, but do you think he can contribute on one of those contending teams?
Man, I don't know. Blake Griffin is a hard one to talk about because I definitely loved him back in the day. You know, Lob City. It was always really fun to watch, and I don't know. I mean, he just seemed like he was gonna be, you know, the guy at one point, but he just wasn't able to stay healthy. And at this point, getting older, still not really able to stay healthy. So I don't know. I mean, can he go and help a team? Sure. But can he get the contract he's probably looking for? No. Because I think he needs to understand what his new role is, and I don't think he's there yet.
Yeah, it's gonna be a learning experience. But the thing is, he doesn't have to go for a big contract because he got bought out. So Pistons are still paying.
Point. That's a good point.
So he doesn't have to go. He can go ring chase a little bit if he wants. And because reportedly, like, the Nets are interested, very interested. The Lakers are very interested. The Clippers are apparently interested, which is funny because there's some bad blood there. I mean,
is everyone that was like there gone though now?
He played with, I think Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley like for half a year or something like that. Or
I guess I was talking more like. Staff and coaching and things like that.
Steve Ballmer is there. Steve Ballmer is you know, the owner, and he's notoriously involved. I don't know how much, but he's involved in stuff. So he's still there. And I think that would be interesting. I think they have the same GM there. But I think, one, let me put a case. Blake Griffin is a good player still. He hasn't gotten his legs under him this year because he's been a little injured. But if for some reason he can stay healthy, man, he is.
Oh, he was a little injured? Weird.
he's been an improved shooter over the last couple of years. He's a good shooter still. He can handle the ball. He can do a little point forward stuff. Not all the time, but a little bit. And he's a willing passer. He's a good passer.
Yeah, and that's true. That's a good point.
I think he could help out, like, dude, the Lakers, you know, they're out. Anthony Davis is still out for a couple more weeks, I think. So they need a power forward. You know, maybe he could fill in a little bit. He's definitely not going to replace Anthony Davis. Again, I don't think he's not there anymore. But he could still help him out. Again, it's just a huge injury concern. I don't know if he could stay healthy. It's kind of unfortunate, but yeah. I am a fan of his. I hope he can go somewhere and still look good.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of his too. I just, again, I think he has to understand what his role is now in this game, just in general. And if he can't accept it, then that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, it's going to
along with staying healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be a learning curve for him because he's usually the number one guy or the number two guy.
Right.
And when he goes to this new contending team, he's going to have to play a role position. You know? Yep. So it's gonna be kind of interesting to see. I think he can do it. I just don't know if it will mold well. If it'll end up well. I guess we'll have to see.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even if you can be like the guy on the bench, though, you know what I'm saying? Like sixth man or you know, the bench leader. Like that's not a bad role to have.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. If he can prove that he is willing to do that, you know, maybe next year somebody's going to be willing to give him a little more money than maybe he's worth.
Yeah,
and then,
that's true.
You know, like a mid-tier team that still needs to fill a role and maybe get a bigger role in there. Or maybe he'll just want to take a smaller contract and go on a contender again next year. But, like, this is also – he's working for another contract. He's still – what is he, 30, 32, something like that? Like, he's still not super old. Obviously, the injuries are concerning, but
–
He's 31, so yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if he would have had so many problems with injuries though if he would have just like stretched a little bit more. You know what I mean?
That's your advice to the guy if you could tell Blake back in the day.
Are you not getting my reference right now?
No, what?
I'm totally blanking. It's whatever like camp that was, and it was a young D'Angelo Russell that went viral because he was like, he ain't even stretched though.
Oh, right.
Like forever ago.
It was the USA camp when they were
that's what it was.
USA
camp. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. That was a deep cut. I was not thinking that.
You're like, seriously, that's your advice?
Yeah. So the Jazz the other day, they had a pretty rough loss, and they had a pretty rough ending to the game against Philly. And Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, they didn't like it too much, and they actually they have a few quotes about the refs. Here's one from Donovan Mitchell. I'm never one to blame the refereeing, but this is getting out of hand. We continually get screwed. We won this game, in my opinion. It's getting fucking ridiculous. I'm sick of it. It eats at me. It's really getting out of hand. They're both fined about $20K for talking out against the refs. But, man, it does seem like if you were to watch some of those games, it does seem like they are getting screwed. I don't know if it's more, but they're still getting screwed, you know?
Well, and, yeah. Okay, first off, yes. Like, like some of those games you watch, for sure, the Jazz are getting like screwed a little bit out of some of those, right? But also I just feel like the refs are getting, I don't know, like too big for their britches or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is exactly, but
too big for their pleated pants.
Yeah exactly. Too big for their stripes.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, we've seen this season alone, two different guys have been ejected from the game for, I guess, aggressively, if you will, passing the ball to a ref, which wasn't even aggressive, but JJ Redick was ejected. I mean, it was a couple months ago now, but it was JJ Redick was ejected for doing like this little spin bounce pass at a ref. And because he like wasn't expecting it, and maybe it was a little fast or hard, he got thrown out of a game. And then Devin Booker, same thing happened to him like just a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I just feel like the refs are starting to like take advantage of their power a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. It's getting a little ridiculous with some of these calls. It's really, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion about not only the techs, but even the flagrant foul calls these days. You know, anything to the head, intentional or not, is a flagrant automatically now. It's like, I understand they're trying to protect, but I really don't think a lot of these should not be flagrants, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. So then you have those, and then like on the other side of the coin a little bit, then you have these guys shooting three pointers, jumping into people and getting the call like almost every time.
Yeah. And that's been going on for a long time, but it's getting worse. And I think because I was talking to you about this, like over text, the rule is still there that it has to be like a normal shooting motion that they get fouled on, right? But I think the refs and the NBA tries to do this every offseason. It's like, you know, a little refresh course and then stuff they want to focus on with the refs. They do that every offseason. So I'm hoping this offseason, that's one of their focal points, is that, because it is getting ridiculous how people will jump into the foul, right? If they don't go straight up and down, if there's not a normal shooting motion, and half the time they're creating the contact. And then they get the foul call. It's like, bro, I know they don't jump forward. You know, you jump up.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I definitely understand the point of trying to protect the players. But just some of these calls and some of these fouls are just starting to get ridiculous and out of hand. It's like, just let the boys play, ref. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of like into a bigger issue overall with the refs. But, yeah. Yeah, we need some policing on them refs, dude.
But who polices the refs? That's the thing. Who polices the police? You know what I'm saying?
Adam Silver. He's our only hope.
He's our white knight.
Yeah, he's our last hope. He's trying to get rid of parties in Atlanta, and he's trying to get these refs back in line.
He's the hero that we need, but not the one that we deserve, but not the one that we. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at now. references.
One of them.
One in there.
There's something there. Speaking about Atlanta, though, they actually just fired their head coach, Lloyd Pierce.
They did. It's true.
And it's an interesting one. You know, I think especially when they hired him, what, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, they really were kind of high on him sort of as a player coach, player development coach. They were excited. But they've kind of been – Atlanta's been a little disappointing this year. Not, you know, they haven't been living up to the expectations they did with signing all these offseason free agents. And so I didn't think it would happen in the middle of the season, to be honest with you, but I guess they just felt like it was that bad. They're sitting at 11 right now. They're 16-20. You know, they're only one game out of the eighth seed, but really only a half game out of the play-in. So it's kind of weird. And like one of their big signings was Bogdanovich, and he's been injured most of the time. So like I said, I didn't think if they underperformed the whole year, I thought he might have been on the chopping block. But mid-season was an interesting move to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you know, you know. I bet there is more going on behind the scenes if when you put it that way. Mm-hmm. I bet yeah. there was definitely some more going on between, I don't know, probably him and the owners and maybe the front office. Well, who knows?
And that's some of the reports coming out, is that he apparently, some of the players were not liking his coaching style, not liking the plays he's calling, stuff like that. So maybe that was the catalyst that some of the players wanted him gone too.
I mean, that would kind of make sense too, because we talked about like how stacked the Hawks seemed, and they were just kind of like underwhelming the season. But also, mm-hmm. I mean, you watch them play, they didn't seem like they're having a lot of fun. You know, you got guys like, what was it? Wasn't it John Collins who was like calling Trae Young out for ball hogging and like all this other stuff? I just think maybe, yeah, like this just the play style in general, a lot of the players were not happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that'll help with the new coach, with the interim coach. But I mean, they should, with that roster, they should be at least a little bit better for sure on paper.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
They definitely should be in the top eight.
Yeah.
At least. So easy. Hopefully they can get right the ship there. But there's some big news coming out of Nike, Connor. Did you hear about this? Did you see this?
Oh,
did
yes.
This? Did you hear about this?
Oh, yes.
So the Nike vice president and GM, Ann Hebert. She actually steps down after a Bloomberg Businessweek cover story ties her to her son's sneaker resale business. And apparently she oversaw the North American region for Nike and the sneakers app, which I think is huge. So apparently she was giving, you know, wholesale pricing and wholesale and the first come, not first come, and like, and dibs kind of to her son who has a resale shoes business.
Bro, and did you see his collection or like his did you see the pictures that he had? He had like a warehouse. Yeah. He had like a warehouse
it's
full
ridiculous.
Of them.
It's ridiculous. Because if some of you sneakerheads out there, I'm a sneaker wannabe for sure. Same. But I kind of lurk.
I'm a very amateur sneakerhead, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, for sure. But the sneakers, anybody who's dealt with the sneakers app knows it's impossible to get anything
you got no chance
from there on the drop.
No
and,
chance.
And yes, there's going to be scalpers. Yes, there are going to be these resellers. But if they're like foregoing that altogether and it's not even getting to the app, you know, some of that inventory, it's just going straight to these resellers like that. That made me mad. And again, I'm not even the biggest sneaker head, you know. I can't imagine some of these other guys who aren't being able to get or have to go to a reseller and pay even more for it.
Yeah, like three times what it's worth. Yeah, well, and I think the other thing that this isn't necessarily on the Ann Hebert store, but I think the thing that sneakerheads are dealing with is bots a lot now, because people are utilizing bots, being able to get in there, get that first come, first serve, or whatever it is. So yeah,
those bots, those and they're all limited drops nowadays. Like that's the
I mean that's I heard that's what happened with like the PS5 too. That's why no one could get it, was because one, like everyone's marketplaces were crashing because everyone wanted to get one, and so it was like impossible to get in and actually check out. But then on top of that, you had bots that were going in and buying up as many as possible, and then they would turn around and resell them.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough out there. Like I've tried a few times on the sneaker app. I was never able to get it, and I'm like I said, I'm not even on the pulse of it. Like
sneakers app is hard. And I mean, dude, sneakers are just so expensive in general too. That's why I mean, obviously not sponsored, no ad, but I've used StockX, and StockX is actually pretty decent. Like
is it like a StockX?
Yeah, well, sort of, except for it's you can buy, sell, or trade stuff on there. It started out as just shoes, but I think you can also do like memorabilia and things like that on there now. Cool. But yeah, you can find a bunch of different sneakers on there. And I think it's actually based out of Detroit. But yeah, they sell it. You kind of like bid on different sneakers and stuff that people are selling. And but they have to go through some kind of vetting process, because if you're buying like new sneak or like new sneakers or whatever, but they've been like, previously owned, StockX, I think the seller has to send them to StockX, and then StockX will inspect them to make sure that they're quality.
Interesting. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
I
recommend
like
looking
that.
into that. It's a pretty decent app. It's user friendly, and sometimes you can get stuff on a good deal because you're just bidding on it at the right time.
Perfect. That's good. Yeah, I used what was it? I think it is it I used to follow this Instagram page that was just all about you'd like submit your what you want to trade to the person, and then they would put it up on their Instagram page, and then they would have people.
I think that's called Craigslist.
Yeah, but it was on Instagram. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an app owned by Facebook.
I'm just saying that they already have that. That already exists.
Right. Well, I actually saw some interesting news coming out of FIBA this last week. It was a
Really?
weird, yeah, it was a really weird headline. So DJ Cooper, he's actually a former Ohio University standout. He got handed a 2-year suspension from FIBA. He's playing overseas over there because he failed a drug test. But he failed because the drug test came back that he was pregnant. So they're like, because he bought some woman's pee and
Right,
it
right.
was pregnant. And
Classic.
so they're like, it's not even like he failed the drug test for the right reason, for the wrong reasons. Well, it was a wrong reason, but I'm saying like he wasn't putting steroids in his body.
Well, he might have been, but we'll never
He
know
might have
'cause he
been,
was pregnant.
yeah. Exactly.
DJ,
I
don't
just
you know
thought
what
that was,
steroids do to a fetus? Jeez.
yeah. I just thought it was so interesting. Also, I wonder if the girl even knew she was pregnant.
Yeah, maybe she found out because of
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. If she found out from FIBA that she was pregnant, FIBA's the one
that.
breaking the news to you.
No, she probably found out because DJ called her and was super pissed. He's like, "Yo, you gave me pregnant pee." She's like, I
Wait,
did." He's like,
what?
"Oh, I gotta go. What's that, coach? Yeah, I gotta go."
Don't call this number. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. That was
I
funny.
mean, that's just something straight out of like a sitcom, honestly, or like a maybe not a sitcom, but yeah, any kind of like TV show that
What
does
a
not
way to
happen in real
leave.
life.
What a way to leave that league.
Oh, DJ.
Speaking about leagues though, this article from ESPN came out. They're talking about a new league called Overtime Elite Pro Basketball.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. They're looking at top high school prospects, and they're gonna try to get
Yes.
them into this league and pay them, I guess. Connor, you know a little bit more about this.
Jeez. So, yeah, basically, I mean, that's pretty much it. Is they're taking top recruited players from high school or just high school aged players, giving them an opportunity to be compensated for playing basketball. And the only caveat to this is that it waives their eligibility for college ball. So if
Yeah,
they did do
because they're
something like
taking
this,
money.
exactly. So if they did do something like this, then and they don't, go into the NBA or whatever. Well, I guess that I don't know if they could go into the NBA because there's nothing specifically about that from, or there's nothing specifically
Well,
about like coming from like somewhere like this to the NBA. But it seems like they'd probably have to go play overseas at that point, then try to get into the NBA if that's the goal.
I don't think necessarily, because I think the NBA actually just put in they just redid the rule where you had to play 1 year in college or overseas, and I think you can come out of high school now.
Oh, really?
Or I don't know if it's this, I don't know if it's enacted this year, but I think they changed that rule. So if not this year, I think it's coming.
Okay.
So that's really interesting, because we're always talking about should college players get paid, should the or you know we've talked about before how people, some prospects are even skipping college, or maybe they got kicked out of college, then they go play in the G League or overseas, like LaMelo or something like
Right.
that, to get their eligibility, and they're getting paid, and then they go in. alternate leagues. Like I'm really a big fan of the G League paying some of these prospects. I think that's great for them. But this is really interesting. I'm kind of conflicted as far as high school aged kids. Like, is this just a straight up league? Is this a straight up job, or is this also going to be schooling for them? I don't know if you got that far in the article, Connor. Do you know anything about that?
I did not, but I from what it's sounding like, I don't think it's schooling. Like, it's not like a, what is that? What is that one place? It's like AIG or something like that. Isn't that that like elite, like sport, high school, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a boarding school for sports, basically. But anyway, so I don't think it's like that situation. I think this is straight up like this is a job, and then you go to school on your own time. You do school however you need to do school. But something that I thought of though, coming out of this, or what I got out of this article, and just seeing that this was happening, was I do think it's interesting that it always seems like basketball specifically, they're always trying to come up with like new ways to get more and more kids into the league, or at least getting like noticed, but also getting compensated. It just seems like they do this way more than any other sport. Now, part of that I think is because baseball already has like the most set up, the longest standing kind of system for this, with the minor league system where players are getting paid. It's not great money, but it is money, and they may have to grind it out for a while in some cases, but these players are getting paid to play, and they're with a team and they're on their way to making it, right? And no other system is set up that way, but it seems like for some reason basketball, everyone's trying to find a way to make something like that happen, but you don't hear anything like that for football. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, football is, as far as minor leagues or alternate leagues, it's a shit show.
Yeah.
Because there's pretty much no other alternate. There's no other. I mean, besides CFL, I guess. But even then, it's hard because it's not really a. There's not really a system to get into the NFL from the CFL. You just still have to do, on your own.
Right.
But no, I think that's an interesting point that you bring up because I think the NBA, especially recently. Like the whole, like I mentioned before, the G League trying to pay some top prospects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're sort of on the forefront of maybe shifting the game a little bit, and trying to get these players paid. Because I'm a big proponent of, I hate that college players aren't getting paid. Now, the solution to that is very complicated. It's going to take a lot of discussion. But if you're going to get paid in the G League, and you're going to be, right there having NBA eyes on you, have G League coaching on you already. I think that's, in my opinion, unless you are really at school for school, I think that's a better option, would be to go to the G League if they can build that up.
Right, right.
So, but yeah, my whole thing going back to the high school, it's like, should the high schoolers be focusing on that? Should it be a job? I mean, they already are kind of taking it like a job. But they're just not getting paid for it right now.
True.
So,
yeah, and I don't know. I don't know how I feel about like focusing on like high school aged players getting paid for it. But at the same time, I get what you're saying too. Is because nowadays, if you want to compete and you want to be like a top tier player, top tier basketball player, top tier athlete in general in high school, you are playing year round and grinding year round, and it's insane. Like you have no time for anything else.
Yeah, that's why I also think it's weird that they're not providing it's weird that they're not providing the schooling, just because it seems to me like it would be easier to try to fit that all in at one place, instead of traveling to, they have to go to school and then they have to come to their job as a basketball player when they're 16. That just seems interesting.
It's true.
And to be fair, I mean, some leagues and like the Euro leagues and stuff, some kids, Luka was playing at 16 and stuff like that. So like Ricky Rubio is been playing professional ball since he was like 14. So
sure.
maybe something like that.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just read this a little bit more and this is what it's saying. Overtime will launch the league, Overtime Elite, in September, targeting top-ranked players ages 16 to 18 specifically, who are willing to forfeit their remaining high school eligibility and future college eligibility to earn six figures.
Oh, so, that's a lot of money.
Yes. So
I was not expecting it to be that much.
This is a job. And it is, let's see, league executives hope he can capitalize off American high school players, choosing to shoe the traditional route of finishing a high school career and playing at least 1 year of college ball before declaring for the NBA draft. So, yeah, it's just another way for them to make it into the league, find an alternate route. But, yes, it is a job, and they have to figure out school on their own, because if they're making six figures, then they're not probably providing school, I'm assuming.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Obviously,
they're going for top prospects, but that's if this gains traction in the coming years, I think that, and this is a lot of what ifs, but I think that could potentially shift. Like, there could be a major shift in how we view, you know, high school basketball and kids that age. If this,
oh yeah, 100%,
anything like that,
100%. I mean, the thing I've noticed just in recent years is the power of social media. Because I mean, you look at like you typically did not know top high school prospects or whatever, right? But now you follow like hoop culture or like Ball Is Life on Instagram, all that stuff. I mean, you like the thing is, everyone knew who Zion Williamson was for 3-4 years before he was going into the league, and everyone knew he was going to the league.
Exactly. And there's so much pressure on those kids too now.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, I mean, the power of social media is insane. So like, that's just one aspect of it. Now you put on top of that, you're going to have high school kids that are 16, potentially making six figures playing basketball. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder if it's going to contribute more to sort of the burnout that happens a lot with those kids.
Oh, like, yeah, very well could. I mean, because the other problem, too, is when you dedicate that much time to one thing and it potentially doesn't work out, where do you go from there?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, how must that, like, weigh on somebody who's I gave up high school. Not gave up. I'm sure, you know, they're doing the BS, like, online schooling or whatever.
But yeah, like a pretty GED. Much, like,
yeah, I pretty much gave up high school. Like, I didn't even finish high school. And then I went here because I thought I could make it in the NBA. And then I didn't make it in the NBA. And I only, like, got paid this little bit while I was there. Like, yeah, that must be tough.
Well, and especially we talk about young bucks going into the NBA. Like, you know, I mean, the classic, like, Shaq story, right? Shaq had the classic story of, like, he was, like, what, 19 or maybe younger or whatever. Or I don't think he was younger than that because he played at LSU, but what was he, like, 1920 when he went into the league? Mm-hmm. And he blew his, like, first check, like, instantly. Like, he blew so much money so fast. And we still see that with a lot of young NBA guys coming in and blowing a ton of money. Mm-hmm. You give that kind of money to a 16, 17-year-old? Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I'm very conflicted on this.
I am, too.
It's a weird one. I don't know.
You know what this makes me wonder, though, is maybe what this can prove is that they should expand the G League and maybe turn it into somewhat of a, like, baseball minor league system where all of a sudden, instead of just having, like, you know, one G League team, suddenly we have the different tiers like baseball where we've got single A, double A, triple A. Now we've got, like, the same thing for basketball.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if this is their goal to get like double A, single A, like kind of like that, but I do think it is their goal to try to give a legitimate alternative and maybe even overtake college basketball, giving a better route. And I actually kind of like it a little more. Not that college can't do it, and some coaches there and some fitness and some schools there are good at developing players. But in the, like I said, in this G League, you're already in the NBA sort of tunnel. You're already in there getting checked, getting worked on by NBA coaches and stuff. And then also maybe you could spend, maybe you can get some like real, like a sort of a reality check. Because sometimes I feel like a lot of times actually, especially big men, they come out too early and they're not really developed enough yet. And then maybe they fizzle out because of that. Or maybe it takes a little longer for them to get going. But if they go directly into the G League, then that's what I'm saying is, I guess the G League is hoping to sort of become the alternative to college.
Right. Well, and the thing is again, like I said, I do feel like they're trying to turn into like the way that baseball minor leagues works. Because the way baseball minor leagues works is you do have kids coming out of high school, coming, you know, out of college after a couple of years of college, going into these minor league systems where they have to spend at least 2 years. It's typical, the trajectory or like the plan is 4 years. Even if you're a top prospect, typically you're looking at a minimum of 3 to 4 years in the minor league system before you make it to the majors. Where the NBA, you're taking these kids who've played 1 year of college and throwing them at the highest level, right? And now,
sometimes
granted,
it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly. And now granted, I mean, that's kind of the, you know, that's always been the difference between like the NFL, the NBA. And that's, and we've talked about that before, like Kyler Murray, you know, Kyler Murray made that decision where he was already on the A's, but he decided to forego that because he became a top prospect for the NFL. And that way you're now playing at the highest level immediately instead of having to grind out the minor leagues. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, like you said, like someone like basketball, though, where they don't have that system in place, if they did set that up a little bit better, where it gave these kids an opportunity to go in and you're already part of a team, it's like, oh yeah, I'm on the, I don't know, name a team, Wizards organization, right? Like I'm part of the
Capital
Wizards organization.
City, go,
I'm just not
go.
On the, what's that?
I think they're like the Capital City Go-Go or something like that. That's a dumb name.
Jeez, just go by the Bullets again. Who cares? Anyway. But yeah, exactly. That's the thing is like we already know that like the G League is affiliated with a team. So like you're like part of that organization. You're just not on that team yet. But I mean, that's the whole point. And that's like these guys in the MLB, you're like in the MILB, I should say, is they're part of an existing organization. And like you said, they're getting eyes, training, coaching, all that stuff on them from like elite player or elite coaches and elite like systems.
Yeah. And I think the G League, I think they're on that trajectory. Like you're already seeing it in the last probably 5-ish years, the benefit of it. I mean, we have G League alums all over the place in the NBA, like Pascal Siakam, Fred Van Fleet were both in the G League. Like there are good people coming out of the G League. There are success stories there.
You're not even going to mention my boy Andre Ingram at all?
Andre Ingram, I mean, he's not in the NBA still.
Currently, so. But he was and balled.
He balled one game, the oldest
and
rookie.
And balled out that one game. Put some respect on his name. Jeez.
Put some respect. But yeah, I mean, for example, also, that's a good place for we mentioned him a few podcasts ago, Kevin Porter Jr., who got cut from the Cavaliers, I believe, or traded from the Cavaliers to the Rockets. But he's been in the G League and he's been balling out. And so maybe that was, you know, a little bit of a wake up call. Like, hey, like not only, hey, you're good enough to be called up, but like, hey, if you don't get your stuff together, you're going to be here in the G League at best.
Forever.
But yeah, we kind of went off a little tangent there. I liked it, but that was interesting.
That's what this is all about, though. We're just here to have a good time, man.
Yeah, we're just two buddies looking for a good time, you know?
Exactly.
Connor, I got a little master debater question for you.
Hit me with it.
I want you to rank these three players in order, and I'm going to let you choose what order, if that makes sense. You'll understand. But I do want to shout out to our best producer, Brent. He sent me this on Twitter. Shout out, Brent, as always. So I want you to rank these three players in order. Again, you choose what order, meaning you choose how to categorize it. But it's Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, and Luka Doncic. 1 to 3. Give me your order.
Why would you do this to me?
It's a tough one, huh?
Do you hate me? Did I do something to you?
Yes. You slut-shamed Lola. Not again.
I did not. How dare you? Okay. Embiid,
it's a tough one.
Dame, Luka.
And see, that's what I mean. You can choose how to like.
Okay, so because here's the tough thing too is like they all play different positions, so it's hard
to
really. I know I'm working on it. the other problem is like my personal bias is coming into this a little bit, where I'm not the biggest Joel Embiid fan. I'll be really honest. I think he's kind of annoying. But like, obviously, I see the numbers he puts up and the impact he makes when he's healthy. and he's insane.
Yeah, he's a monster.
But okay, and I'm just talking you through my thought process right now, because here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, Dame is, I feel like, one of the most overlooked players in the NBA by far. Like, he's never talked about, but he's always good. Not, I mean, not that he's never talked about. Obviously, he's a superstar. Obviously, people talk about him. People talk about Dame Time, whatever. But he's not talked about as much as he should be, if that makes sense. And then you've got Luka, who is the emerging superstar, who's incredible. We all know that, and he's going to be incredible for years to come. But is he at the same status as them yet? I don't know. Oh my gosh, I hate you so much.
Do you want me to go through mine? Because I already had this discussion with Brent, on Twitter, so I kind
Yeah,
of already
please.
know mine.
Please.
So I think if we're going straight up, who's the best? I'm gonna put it Damian, Joel, and then Luka. But here's my reason. I think Joel and Damian Lillard, they're both sort of at the peak of their potential, meaning we know what they're gonna be, right? Like, we know
Okay,
what they are, we know what they're gonna be. And but I think Luka, that being said, Luka, we don't he's what, 22? He just turned 22. We don't know his full potential yet. So I'm
it's
saying
true.
there's very possible that he could overtake both of these guys, but right now, right this instant, I think I would rank Damian first, then Joel, then Luka. But the thing is, if we want it, that's why I kind of gave it up to you to like categorize it a little more, is because,
Right.
like, say we're talking about MVP this year, I think I would put Embiid, then Lillard, then Luka. Because, dude, Embiid, I don't know, I want to
I
point.
would agree with you for MVP rankings for sure.
Yeah. Dude, Embiid's a beast this year.
Yeah,
He's
no,
averaging
that's what I'm saying.
30, 11, and 3.
Yeah.
He's shooting, this is crazy. He's shooting 50 from the field, 41 from the three, and 85 from the free throw. So he's like 50, 40, 90, that really good split. He's 5 points away. If he's 5 percentage points away from that.
As a center.
As a center.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Sixers are still number one in the
Yeah.
East right now.
Right. No,
Like, he's.
I totally agree. I think Embiid is totally deserving of the MVP. If we're talking about just rank these three though, are we talking MVP here, or are we just talking in general?
That's what I kind of put it up to you.
Okay, I see. Okay. If we're talking MVP, I would agree with you. I would say Embiid, Lillard, Luka. If we're talking general, I'm actually gonna take it to the point of I because I hear what you're saying with Luka, where it's like we don't really know his potential yet, but I'm gonna say like the trajectory he's on, I'm gonna put I don't want to do that though,
Do it.
because the
Do
pro here's
it.
because here's the problem here's my issue is I don't want to put Luka number first, right? Number first. I
Number
don't.
first.
Number first. I don't want to put Luka number one right now
But.
because like I don't know. I don't know. You just can't see that far into the future, right? Like, because right now we're just going off of like the trajectory he's on, all things considered, doesn't stop and just continues to stay on that trajectory. Yeah, he's gonna be one of the best, right? I
But
hate you
here's
so
what makes it so
much.
difficult, Connor, too, is that it's a debate still how good they are right now. That's what's,
It's true.
does that make
Yeah. No,
sense? Like, it's
yeah, that
still
totally
a
makes
debate
sense.
how good they are right now. So
Yeah,
that's what
no, it's
makes it
very
so
true. 'Cause
hard.
like, 'cause the other thing that's difficult is people like Luka and Dame, where are the Trailblazers at nowadays? I haven't looked at the ranking, like the standings
They
lately.
are, I have pulled up, they are fifth.
They're
They've
fifth.
been
Okay.
hovering around fourth and fifth this year. They've been
Okay,
doing
so
pretty good.
that's the thing is like the issue we have right now
And
is
another reason for Damian, maybe for MVP, at least in the discussion, I don't think he's there, but is they've had a bunch of injuries. CJ McCollum's been out for weeks. What's the Nurkic has been out for weeks. So Damian's it's been a lot of him and the Melo show lately. Anyways,
Right. Okay.
go ahead.
So that's kind of my point is like when you have a team like the Sixers who are a decent team, we know that, and then you have like a guy like Embiid, he's basically the one carrying them right now, right? He's like carrying them and he's keeping them in that number one spot. Then you got a guy like Damian who is again, he doesn't have the supporting cast like he usually does, and he's still keeping them in that fourth and fifth
Afloat.
spot, right? And then you've got Luka, who is balling out. It has all the potential, but where are the Mavs right now? Aren't they like still ninth,
They're
tenth?
they made it up to eighth. They're
Okay,
playing a
so they're
little
eighth
better
now.
lately. They're on a
Okay.
3-game win streak.
Okay, so they're eighth now. But that's my, I guess that's my point between these guys. It's like Luka is not a carry yet. He will be, I'm sure. And he has a pretty good supporting cast around him, right? But I don't know. I think just in general, I'm gonna put Dame over Embiid. I think I'm just agreeing with you. I think it's Dame, Embiid, Luka at this point.
Yeah,
But
just in general, who's
I think Luka has definitely has the potential to be above both of them for sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. His potential might be more. He's only 22. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, no,
He and
it's nutty.
he put up what, 30 points, almost a triple double against the Clippers last year in the playoffs. Like,
Yeah.
it's crazy. I do want to mention we love our nicknames here on the Two Tight End podcast. I have Joel Embiid's basketball
Oh,
reference page up.
please.
Yeah, you ready
Please.
for this? So the first two obvious, everybody knows them. JoJo was one, and then the process is the other, right?
Yep.
Never heard these other two, okay? I love this. One of them is do 180.
What?
I think is that like a post move reference? Do a 180?
Maybe. Maybe he
I don't
just
get.
maybe he just like screamed that a bunch, so people took it as like his nickname.
Is there some obvious reference we're not getting? Like,
Probably.
I don't get that. And then the other one I love even more. It's so his name's Joel, and then the nickname is Troell, because
What?
he's a big Twitter troll.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. That's pretty funny.
Troell.
I thought you were
Oh
gonna tell me
man.
one of his nickname was Embiid.
And B, no, that's just what I call him when I can't
Just
spell.
your typos on our notes.
Yeah, exactly. Here I'm looking up Lillard's if he's got any. It's just all the normal ones we have. Nothing fun there. Let's see about Luka.
Dame Dala, Dame Time.
Dame, big game Dame, which I don't usually hear, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dame Sub Zero is another one.
I don't think I've
Logo
heard that
Lillard.
one. Oh, Logo of the Lord, yeah.
Oh, jeez, dude, Luka has a lot of them. Holy shit.
Really? He's only
Yeah.
22.
He's only 22. That's what I'm saying. No, he's got a bunch. He has the Matador, El Matador, which is the same thing.
Right. Just Spanish.
Yeah. Cool Hand. I've never heard any of those. The
Nope.
Don. I think I've heard that one before.
Okay.
Wonder Boy, I've definitely heard before. El Nino Maravilla.
Okay.
You know what that means?
The Marvelous Kid.
Oh, really? Oh, look at
Some, I mean,
you.
basically, yeah.
Yeah. That makes
Or it's
sense.
like, Marvel Kid, basically, like a kid to
Yeah.
Marvel, something like that.
Right. This one I hate. It's Swaggy L.
Ew.
Listen, there's one Swaggy P, and then can we leave it alone, everybody?
Exactly.
Like,
Exactly.
Luka Legend, which is a good one, and then Too Easy, which I'm pretty sure was like my go-to nickname on like NBA 2K when I made a player.
Too easy.
Yeah. Do you know how you can make those nicknames and everything? You know what
Oh,
I'm talking about?
yeah.
Yeah. Those are fun. I always love this nickname game.
I thought Too Easy was the guy I played in like NBA Street Volume 2. Like the dude with the afro. I thought that was Too Easy.
It might be. I can't
I
remember his
can't
name.
remember either, but it sounds like it.
They need to come out with another one of those games.
Right?
Street was awesome. Dude, I'm looking at Luka's stats too. 28, 8, and 9.
What's that?
Luka's stats this year is 28, 8, and 9. Dang,
And
dude.
he's only 22.
He's only 22. New name of the podcast. He's only 22.
He's only 22 tight ends.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yeah,
Wow.
sorry.
Hey.
We'll come up with the You're gross. We'll
Right,
come up
come
with a
on,
good
Connor.
acronym though.
Yeah. Good merch. Good acronym to put on the t-shirts.
Exactly.
Let's move on to some NFL news. We had a
Let's.
big week as far as free agent signings because JJ Watt, he's coming to my state of Arizona. He's coming to the Cardinals.
Pam, pam, pam.
Purr, purr, purr. 2-year, $31 million deal, with $23 million of that guaranteed. Kind of surprising, right? When you saw the Cardinals?
Yes.
Their name?
Very surprising because they were not even sort of on the list.
Yeah, they weren't. I mean, as far as like we thought he might go ring chase, maybe a you know take a pay cut, maybe the Bucks. I don't think they were a serious contender, but like the Packers, maybe the Steelers, maybe because of the brother connection, because of the hometown connection, and then also they're both pretty good teams. Not that the Cardinals aren't, but I'll get to that in a second. And so, yeah, that wasn't really on most people's radars, I think, was the Cardinals. And then when that dropped, A, the Cardinals was surprising. But then also how much he's getting paid, which was kind of surprising too, which is a lot more than I thought. I thought he would take a bigger pay cut to maybe go play on a bigger contender. And so that was a pretty big deal. I mean, good for him. Get that money.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure.
But that was surprising to me. But how do you like the fit over there?
I mean, scary. So scary. Like, you yeah. already had Chandler Jones on the other end, and now you mm-hmm. add J.J. Watt. Like, no one wants to go play them now.
Yeah, and this is kind of weird for me because I was actually a guest on the PPP podcast, the Pigskin Party podcast. Shout out Brian. Shout out those guys over there. And so I just talked about this, so it's weird talking about it again. Like, but yeah, the J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, since I think 2012 it is, are the number one and number two. They have the most sacks since 2012.
That's insane.
And the thing is, like, yeah, J.J. Watt, there's a little bit of an injury concern. He did play a full season last year, which is good.
True.
But if he's not having to do as much because Chandler Jones on the other side, and that's opening up opportunities on the same end, like, man, that's pretty nice. I think that's going to be a really good situation for J.J. I think he's very motivated. He's back with his boy Nuke, too.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
A reunion there. And the
Bro,
Cardinals
can
defense...
you imagine if they can get Deshaun over there too and just make it as Brent. Oh my gosh, I'm the worst. Wow. I'm our own producer. I couldn't even think of his name. I kept thinking Brad Stevens for some reason. I was like, why is Brad Stevens the only name that's coming to mind right now? Anyway,
you mistook Brent for Brad Stevens.
There's worse things he could have been called.
I guess that's just so random.
No, I know. I don't know why my brain just like had a stroke. Anyway, so Brent, thank you. He put it as Houston Wiest or something like that, or like Texans Wiest.
Yeah, Texans Wiest.
Because yeah, if they can there get Deshaun, bro, that is just a scary yeah. roster at that point.
Yeah, put Kyler as the running back, and then just have Deshaun throw, and boom, you got it.
Screw that, just trade Kyler. You got Deshaun, bro. You don't need Kyler anymore.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna entertain that because that's not happening. No, I like it a lot. If fans ever go back in the stadiums, I mean, like I said, I'm in Arizona right now. That's gonna be fun to if I ever go see a game. I'm excited for that.
No, that would be
that
crazy.
Should be a good time.
That would be really cool.
And their defense, like the Cardinals, are a few pieces. Like their defense was not that great last year, but they add Watt. Maybe they draft another corner or linebacker. Maybe re-sign Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson, I'm conflicted about. I really like him, but he does seem to have lost a step. So if they can get a better number one corner, then have Peterson maybe as a number two again, or maybe yeah. in a slot. I think that'd be good.
Do you feel like Buda Baker kind of takes that number one role, or not really?
Well, isn't I thought Buda was a safety.
Oh, you're right. Buda is a safety. He's not a corner.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So yeah you're right.
But Buda's really nice. Like that. What I'm getting to is that Cardinals defense is a few. You know, if they have a good draft, maybe sign a couple of people. They're a few paces away of being a pretty decent defense. You know.
Yeah.
At the very least.
I agree. So you're talking about Patrick Peterson losing a step. Do you feel like JJ's kind of lost a step too? I mean, like, I'm not even talking like injuries, just like in general.
I do. Well, I think injuries are
huge. Well, like because part of injuries. That, yeah, exactly. But like, you do. But
I think
you do
he
feel
has.
Like he's lost a step.
I think he has. And maybe that's just because, like I said, last year was the first full season we've seen him. That defense was kind of terrible. So maybe this year he won't look like he has, but at least last year and lost a step. Like, yeah, yeah, I think he has.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, obviously he's not going to be the same guy because of because of those injuries, but
the injuries, and
I
he's
still
a
think
little
I mean
older
he's
now.
still a monster, dude.
Yeah, it's not like even him losing step, he's still paying him $31 million. So
yeah, exactly. Yo, and kind of a cool story that came out of that too was when he, I think it was like his first visit to the Cardinals camp, they like filmed him and Chandler Jones like meeting up and talking or whatever, and you know, JJ, he typically wears number 99, right? But 99 is retired in Arizona, but he called, or someone called or whatever, he had a conversation with the daughter of the player who wore that and got permission to wear 99. So kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I guess we're a retired number.
The only guy there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's going to be interesting to see him in new colors, but I'm excited for him. I think that defense, like I said, if they have a good offseason, that defense could be good.
Yeah, for sure.
Some other old guy over on the Steelers, he just restructured his contract. Big Ben is sticking with the Steelers. Some rumors that maybe they would move on from him. I mean, he did still have one more year. But no, they just restructured it. So they actually – I have it pulled up here. Give me 1 second. So they cut his pay from $19 million this year to $14 million. But that actually lowered their cap hit by $15 million. So they actually say only reducing his pay to $4 million, like, cleared up a lot of cap for them.
Yeah.
Because I think they were already in the red. So I kind of talked about this on the PPP podcast. Shout out them again. That if they can restructure it, if they can get a better deal and sign some more people on that team, I think you stick with him. But he does seem to be taking, you know, a step back as far as skill level goes. So if he's stuck with that contract, I don't think he's worth that contract anymore. So, but they did restructure it, and yeah, I think keep moving forward. They need a better running game. They need a few more defensive pieces. They might lose some guys, so that clears up some cap space for them. Maybe they sign Juju with it. I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe, but I do know that it's interesting, or it's just kind of funny to talk about them, like, they need a better running game when they just had, like, one of the, like, I don't know, kind of coolest emerging stars happened, like, not that long ago, just a couple years ago. James Conner kind of came out and took over, and everyone was shocked, and it was like, okay, I guess James Conner's the guy now, and then he just kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say he fizzled completely, but he did kind
of, well,
he was
injured, like, most of last season.
Okay, so that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But so even still, he did kind of slump a little bit, even without even without the injury, though.
And, you know, it's another thing. They lost the Pouncey twins retired.
True.
They lost the center there. They usually have a really good offensive line for running and to protect Big Ben. So they're going to need to retool that. So, yeah, this money saves them a lot if you're a Steelers fan. Shout out, Zach. But yeah, to some other QB news, the Washington football team actually just cut the comeback player of the year, Alex Smith. I wanted them to do this. I'm glad they did. Obviously,
you Alex, monster.
Okay, whatever. Alex, thanks for what you did out there, but we need a better QB.
How dare
the thing
you?
Is his. If his contract was better, if it wasn't such an albatross, I would have liked him to stay on as even just like the third stringer that, you know, could have taught these young guys that we have, like a Heinicke, or maybe if we draft somebody, I would have liked him to stay there, you know, taught him a little bit, you know, be the sort of the veteran presence there. But that contract was way too big for that to happen.
Wow. After all the surgeries and all the rehab, and you're just going to cut him and be grateful about it.
Yes.
Can't believe you.
No, I but the thing is, Connor, do you think he has a spot on a different NFL team? Like, he said it that he wants to play more. Do you think a team is going to take him maybe as a backup or something?
Like, I can see it.
Based off the like 5 games he played last year?
Yeah. I do think it's possible for sure. And I mean, you said it best, like, you know, bring him in as like a second, third string quarterback just to, like, you know, teach some of these young guys and maybe get them some reps where you can, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously, all jokes aside, like, he's never going to be the same as he was. and that sucks. And, you know, good on him, though, for not giving up, and good on him for coming back and even proving that he could be in a game. You know, like, he didn't just totally, like, whiff when he went out there. Like, he played, and he was decent. I mean,
listen, I saw a stat somewhere. I wish I had it pulled up. Like, since he came to the Washington football team, he's, like, the only quarterback that has a winning record. Like, we won with him, and a big part of that was his game management, his game style, and even after the injury, like, we were still winning with him, right?
Right.
So, like, I appreciate that. It's just, dude, that guy cannot move. Like, he doesn't even do, like, a full three-step drop.
Yeah, and well, he couldn't move at all for a while, Neil, I know, so exactly. It makes sense.
He almost died. Well, that's what I mean. Maybe he shouldn't be on the football field, at least not right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's sad, but true.
But I hope he does. I hope he finds what's right for him, if that makes sense. Like, if that's, a third string quarterback position, if that's maybe he moves on to coaching, I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, very well could be.
But yeah, I wish him the best. I love his years in Washington, but we need to move on, and it was a good move, honestly.
Yeah, dude, Alex Smith has honestly had, like, the wildest career. Maybe not wildest, but
he was,
like,
the number one pick. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Okay, number one pick, and then got injured in San Francisco. And that's when Kaepernick emerged.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in San Francisco, he was good. He was solid.
Yeah.
He wasn't a number one pick worthy, right?
Right.
And then, and then he gets injured. And then he moves on to the Chiefs. And he was actually, that team was really good.
Yeah.
And he was good there. And then that team did really well. And then he gets traded because they have Mahomes and everybody. Some people question that, obviously, now looking back. No, you know, that's the move.
Right.
But at the time, it wasn't that obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is what he's just had an insane career when it comes to, like, getting outshone by his backups, basically.
Yeah. And then going to another team and still proving himself.
Exactly. Yeah. No, he's a wild career. And then, well, and then if you, everyone will remember too, Aaron Rodgers was taken right after him in that draft. So that was just, I don't know, that was kind of interesting too.
And he's a Ute. He played at Utah.
He did. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Shout out. Well, Connor, do you even want to talk about Deshaun Watson?
Do we have to?
No, it's just beating a dead horse at this point, honestly. Seriously, whatever, dude. Just trade him already. Am I right?
For real. It's... Like poop or get off the pot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an article, but you know what? We're saving the listener here. We don't.
We're doing this for you.
We're doing this for you. But that is gonna do it for this episode, guys. We appreciate y'all listening. Please like and share wherever you can to whomever you can. Everybody, go follow these socials at two tight ends. It's the number two, Instagram, Facebook. Even on YouTube, Twitter, everybody can go follow me at the Thrill Can Kill 5. That's the number 5. And Connor, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on my Instagram at Moco. That's MOCO dot CUDE. And yeah, just be sure to follow all two tight ends social media.
Hell yeah, brother. But Connor, what did we learn today?
Well, Neil, if there's anything we've learned today, I think we figured out Luca's favorite artist, musical artist. Can you take a guess who it is?
Oh, geez. Is it Sia?
Nope. It would be Taylor Swift, because he's feeling 22.
And I hate you.
I hate myself for that one, but it's the only thing I could come up with on the fly.
Well, everybody, think bad thoughts about Connor this week for that joke. But yeah,
jokes, like, you said, you can't think any worse thoughts than I think about myself.
That was dark.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for us. See you next week, guys.
See ya.